Well, I noticed the chandeliers whenever I came in today, and it brought something to mind. I thought I'd tell you, you know, the way sometimes people are in church. Well, seems like there was a church that had a business meeting, and they had a little bit of extra funds on hand. And so someone asked, well, what should we do with the extra money? And one lady spoke up, and she said, I think that we should get a chandelier. And right away, there was a man there who always wanted to pinch pennies. And he said, I'm again it. And he stood up, I'm again it. Well, number one, no one here knows how to spell it. Number two, no one knows how to play it anyway. And number three, what we really need in here is some more light. So he was again it. But these are very nice chandeliers. And they do light it up well in here, don't they? You couldn't tell in the daytime because the Lord's light that he sends us outside is much greater than any of our artificial lights. But anyway, we're able to have this light to see well tonight. So I'm glad that you're here and have your Bibles, that you'll be able to look at your Bibles and see them easily as we turn to the Word this evening. Well, as we announced earlier today, we'd like to have a message for you called God's Co-workers. And the main portion is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, so we'll be looking at that. It's a well-known passage of Scripture to all of us, I'm sure. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to take the time to read verses 9 through the end of the chapter. And although I won't hit on every verse, I will be hitting on many of them tonight as we go through this passage together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, we read this. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. We'd like to have you bow with us tonight for a moment of prayer, please. Thank you, Father, for revealing the Scripture to us, and for giving to us so many things that are plain. Our desire tonight is to take those plain and simple things of the Word of God and to allow them to dwell in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for those who are able to be here tonight. We pray for each one that they will go from here with your blessing upon them. Father, I am simply a tool desiring to be used in your hand, and I pray that you will have your work and your way in our hearts tonight. Thank you, dear Lord, for giving to us a Savior, and not only that, but giving us victory in the Christian life as we follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we need to keep clear in our minds is that the church of God is God's temple, and the goal that we have his excellence and quality. There are those who have the idea today that our goal is to just reach out and grab large crowds and have what the world calls success. But our goal is not simply to have names added to a roll, higher numbers to report every year. Our goal is to have quality and excellence in everything God has called us to do. We need to show the world that Jesus is so important to us that we put our best effort forth into everything we do. And so with that in mind, I'd like you to think about this thought in chapter 3 and verse 9. And that is, first of all, we have an awesome privilege. We are God's co-workers. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's co-workers. When you hear the word partner, you may think about someone who's gone into business with others. You may think of a law firm. You might think of your partner, your spouse. And all those things are good examples. But in this case, our partnership is with the Lord God himself and with fellow believers as we seek to reach the world with the gospel. Now, this is an amazing thought that God has said to us that we are co-workers with him, because in the book of Genesis, it tells us about how God spoke and the world was created. He spoke and the sun, the stars, the moon, and the planets were created and placed in this universe. And if you stop and think about that, we just cannot fathom all that there is in this universe that God has created. You know, back before we had good telescopes, we thought that there were a lot of stars. But then we got better and better telescopes. And now they say that for all the billions of people that there are on this planet, for every individual one, there are billions of stars. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? This whole universe spoken and all these things are created. God spoke and there were animals all over the place. From the aardvark to the zebu. Every strange kind of animal that you can imagine. Manatees and dugongs swimming in the water. The great whales. The tiny little bat that flies around and just sips nectar from the flowers. All these things God spoke and they were created. God did that himself. He didn't need us then, and he doesn't need us now. But he wants you to be his co-worker. And so with that in mind, I'd like you to keep that in the forefront of your thoughts, that you are his co-worker. He has called you. He wants you to do this. And therefore, you have work to do. Why don't you say that together out loud with me tonight? I have work to do. Everyone, I have work to do. You got work to do for the Lord. You know, we got a task before us. It's not just a title you've got. It's a co-laborer. You have a job to do. They have decided in the wisdom of our so-called leaders that we want electric cars. And we want in particular the Chevy Volt. And so they set up the factories and everything that was necessary to manufacture the Chevy Volt. And they have battery plants where they're manufacturing the Chevy Volt. The only problem is they don't have enough orders coming in for them. And so what do the people that work there do? Well, they show up every day and they go into the lunchroom and they sit down and they play cards or they watch video games and play video games or they watch a movie. And some of them went stir crazy doing it. By the way, they're getting full pay for that and benefits. And so what do some of them do? They go out in the community. They go in, check in at work, punch the time card. Then they go out in the community and they do volunteer work. Or maybe they go off in the shop and they start cleaning. I know I worked in a steel mill one time and I had a job for the summer and it was a job that, well, they probably could have got by without. But anyway, here I was in the steel mill and I did everything I was supposed to do, and I thought, wow, look at that. That place over there where guys have their lockers, it's really dirty. And the system they devised was they put out the lockers in rows, just like they have in a school, but they were more heavy-duty lockers. And up on top of it, to keep the dust from accumulating, they took sheet metal and they made a steep roof-like structure, a slanted roof, to keep the dust off. Well, there was still dust sitting up there, and I thought, well, it won't take me much. I'll clean that up. They'll appreciate that, having a nice place around here. So I went by, and I cleaned it all off, and then afterwards, a guy came to me, one of the bosses. He said, don't do that. I said, why? He said, well, if you do that, then when the regular guy comes back and takes his job, when he's back from vacation, they'll want him to do that too. And so therefore, don't do that. And so for a while there, my biggest task of the day was figuring out where I was going to take my next break. So I'd go in and I'd do the work, and then I'd go take my first break in one spot, and then I'd move somewhere else and I'd take a break in another spot, and I'd go somewhere else and take a break, and then I'd go empty a couple waste baskets. And now I had some more breaks and so forth, and that was the way the day went. I didn't do that too long, but I'll tell you something, it's not a very good thing whenever you don't have any tasks to perform. It's not good at all. While I was there in the mill, one of the guys said, you know, I appreciate this. Whenever there's something to be done, you get in there and you do it. He said, we got a job, and it's a pretty dirty and hot job. And he said, because you've been working hard, I'm going to give you a break. I said, you can be the flag man. And what we had to do is have someone who watched for overhead cranes and for trains and other things that traveled on rails that I can't even describe for you, but we had to watch for that. And there were workers that were inside the furnace cleaning out the old brick, and it was very hot and dirty in there. And whenever it was time for them to come out, I had to make sure that everything was stopped and it was all safe for them to come out. Well, I did that for a day, and I went to him. I said, would you please assign me to something else? Just standing there all day long. Standing and standing, and then you stand some more. And then that's the end of it. You just go on and on. I didn't like that. I wanted to do something where I wasn't just standing still. Well, my point is that when we say that we have work to do, it's not like those workers in a battery plant who go in and sit and play cards all day. Or it's not a thing where you just simply stand and do nothing. Although I guess I was doing something, it was important that they did have a flagman. But we've got work to do. The Lord has given us jobs to do for Him. Now, I'd like you to look at a verse in the Bible. Keep your place here because we're going to come back. But would you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, please? Ephesians in chapter 2. Now, many of you know the verses 8 and 9 because we have learned these. They're very excellent verses to make things clear to someone who wants to know how to be born again. And so in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we read salvation's message, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when someone thinks that they are saved by going to church or by being nice to their neighbor, or they're saved by going through some ritual or whatever, you can show them that verse and you can make it clear to them that it is not by works that we are saved, not by religious works, not by any kind of works that we are saved. So it's not of works lest any man should boast. But while you're looking at that, we should look at the next verse that follows, verse 10. Now, we're not saved by our works, but do works have a part in our lives? Yes, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, why did God save you? He saved you that you might get to work and that you might become what He's called you to become. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why He made us, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we have work to do. God has called us to that work, and we need to be busy about it. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says that we're to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. That means that in every way we fully please the Master, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're not to simply sit around and contemplate life. For many people, they think that's all you do when you go to church. They don't go to church themselves, or they don't understand it, and they just think, well, you just show up, you sit there for a while, and then you leave. You're supposed to contemplate life or whatever. And they have no idea that we're actually following the Lord. But the Bible tells us that he's called us to work, and we've got work to do. Jesus answered them in John 5:17, "My Father worketh even until now, and I work." We're following the example of Jesus, and we know that we've got work to do for him. Now, here's a second thing for you to think upon, and I'd like you to repeat it after me. My work is important. Let's say it together. My work is important. There's a fellow named Speedy Morris. He was a basketball coach for LaSalle University. One day he was at home. He was shaving. His wife called up and said, "Speedy, you got a call from Sports Illustrated." He said, "Wow." So finally they've noticed how our team is doing. Now I might get an article written about me in the national magazine about sports. This will be a big boost for my career. He nicked himself with his razor. He had blood and shaving cream all over his face, but he ran down to the telephone. And when he got to the phone, the voice on the other end of the line said, "For just 75 cents an issue, you can get a trial subscription." That was Paul Harvey who reported that first. I got it from him. "For just 75 cents, you can get a trial subscription." Here Speedy thought that he was going to be recognized for all of his hard work, that people would see that what he was doing was important. Well, dear friend, we do want to know that our work that we do is important. And I'm telling you that your work that you do for the Lord is vital. It is very important. Now, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm only going to point out this passage to you because it's an extended passage, but I can give you the basic gist of it briefly. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12, we have a description here of the body, and we all are a part of this body, the body of Christ. And there is a discussion here of the ears and of the eye, and there's a discussion of the hands and the feet and so forth. And we are like parts of the body. And I'll tell you, as far as my body is concerned, I'm glad I've got all my parts. I'm glad they're all there. You really miss them whenever you don't have them. There was a time that I fell and I injured my shoulder and I couldn't move my arm very well. It took about a year for it to get back to the point where I could move it all the way. I'll tell you what, I missed that. I missed that. You can get by. My grandfather worked on a farm all of his life. That's my grandfather on my mother's side. And one time he got caught in one of those harvesting machines and it pulled his hand in. It was a corn picker of some sort and it took his fingers off like this. So he had his full thumb and he had his full little finger and then he just had up to the first knuckle on the other fingers that were there in his hand. It was on his right hand. One day I said to him, "How do you do that?" He'd actually climbed a ladder up to the top of the barn, probably 30 feet up there, and he had a hammer and he was pounding things there. I said, "How do you do that?" He said, "Well, you know, if you pay attention, when you swing a hammer, that little finger does a lot to hold that hammer. And the finger, little finger and the thumb." So he said, "I just do, you know, whatever I can do, best I can." I'm glad I got all my parts. Glad that they're all there and hope that they keep on working for a long time until the time is that the Lord calls us home. Sometimes your back doesn't work right or your knee doesn't work right or whatever and gives people fits. Well, anyway, the Bible here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about those different parts of the body and says that every one of them is important. And we could read just a little bit of it. Verse 12 says, "For as a body is one and hath many members," or many parts, "and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And it goes on to describe the different parts and show that they are important. Now, I want you to know this. Your work is important. There is no one else who's equipped, who's qualified, who is gifted, and who is placed where you are. You are unique, and you can do things that others cannot do. I used to tell the young people down at Brownsville that they could do some things that I couldn't do. They could talk to their friends about the Lord in a way that I couldn't. And the reason was that whenever their friends saw me coming, they might think, well, you know, he's okay. But they wouldn't be able to ask me any questions because they'd be intimidated. I don't know why anyone would be intimidated when they saw me, but they'd be intimidated. And so they would not say anything, but they would talk to my children or the children of the church. They would talk to them, and they could speak up, and they could answer questions, and they could be a good witness. There's something about it that you can witness to your peers, and you can talk to your peers in a way that no one else can. Do you know someone you wish they would talk to the pastor, but you know they would never talk to him because, well, he's someone who's trained in the ministry, and they'll talk to you, though. They'll talk to you. Your work is important. And so you are placed somewhere where God has given you a special job. And I don't know exactly what it is, but God has given you some special job that He calls you to perform. And the need is so great, is it not? You know this verse, don't you, from the Scriptures? The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers into His harvest. The need is so great, and you have a special job that no one else is able to do. And so you have a job. Your work is important. The third thought tonight is, my work is for God. Let's say that together. My work is for God. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Again, it says, for we are laborers together with God. We talked about that already. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Our work that we do as we labor is to be God's husbandry. It's to be God's building. It's for God. It's for His purposes. It's for His glory and His honor. You recall that in the Bible it tells us what Jesus said. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. And what would they do? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Now we know, we've spoken already, how you cannot work to earn your salvation, but you work because you are saved. And in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, it reinforces that you are working for the Lord. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Your work is for God. It is God's building. And then look at this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 now. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. My work will be costly. Let's say that together. My work will be costly. The things that you do are going to cost something if they're going to be worth something. You see, wood, hay, and stubble are on the surface of the ground. And it does take labor, but comparatively, it takes little labor to gather those materials up. Think about gold, silver, and precious stones. It takes great effort to find them. It takes great effort to get them out of the earth. It takes great amount of resources to purchase the gold, the silver, the precious stones. And so, if we want to have a life that is truly valuable, our work will be costly, and it will take of our time, it will take of our effort. It will be something that amounts to something. The Bible tells us that King David wanted to offer a sacrifice. You can read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 24. He wanted to offer a sacrifice, and so he wanted to offer it in a certain place, but he didn't own the property. And the Bible tells us that he went to a threshing floor of a man named Araunah. And whenever he got there, he said, I want to offer a sacrifice here. And Aruna said, well, you're the king. I want to honor you. He said, I'll do whatever I can. He said, you want some land? You may have this land right here. Go ahead. It can belong to you. And he said, furthermore, you want to offer a sacrifice? I have these tools that I'm using to work my land. They're made of wood. You can take them and break them up and use them to burn the sacrifice. And I have two oxen here I'm using to pull those implements through the field. You can have those two oxen. Just take them. Just take them. They're yours. Those can be the sacrifice. Do you remember what David answered back to him? The Bible tells us in the 24th verse, and the king said unto Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. If our work is for God, and it is the work that's important that he's called us to, it's going to be costly. It's going to take of our time. It's going to take of our best. We need to be willing to say, yes, I will do something for the Lord, even though it takes great effort. It may lead to rejection. It may lead to the fact that there are some people who won't have anything to do with you because you stand up for the Lord. Your work may be costly, but oh, it's worth it. And in the end, one day in glory, every bit will be rewarded. The next thing, my work must be done God's way. Let's repeat that together. My work must be done God's way. We need to do it the way God has chosen. If you look at verses 21 to 23 of 1 Corinthians 3, it says this, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. It must be done God's way so that we don't have glory in man. We need to do it God's way because that's the only way that will bring success. We think that our wisdom is what is needed because we want to contribute and then glory whenever the victory comes. But the Lord says this, we're going to do it this way. It doesn't seem to make sense to us, but that's the way he does it. For example, for John the Baptist, he said, John, I want you to go preach. All right, Lord, where do you want me to preach? Go down to the wilderness. That doesn't make sense, but it's God's way, and it's the way that worked. Jesus came and he ministered, and what does it say? The crowds gathered, and often he avoided the crowds. You know what? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Those that are in the world think that promotion, prestige, the influence of money and important people is going to bring success. We need to understand that the success that we will have to be true quality success that we spoke of in the beginning is going to depend on something else. Prayer, the power of the Spirit, humility, and sacrifice. Those are the things that bring success that matters. And the world may not think of it as success, but that's okay. We don't care what the world thinks. Maybe you've heard this fellow on the radio. He's a man by the name of Howard Butt. And actually, he's a very prominent Christian businessman, and he is the head of a place where they have retreats. And he brings things on the radio that have to do with the value of just plain work and doing our work the right way. So if you ever hear his voice, he's got a distinctive voice, and he's usually worth listening to. But I found out that he wrote an article. It's titled, The Art of Being a Big Shot. Well, he was a big shot. He was a successful Christian businessman. He was very prominent. And in his article, He had some important things, and they go along with this. My work must be done God's way. Listen to what he said. It's my pride that makes me independent of God. It's appealing to me to feel that I am the master of my fate, that I run my own life, call my own shots, and go it alone. But that feeling is my basic dishonesty. I can't go it alone. I have to get help from other people, and I can't ultimately rely on myself. I'm dependent on God for my very next breath. It's dishonest of me to pretend that I'm anything but a man, small, weak, and limited. So living independent of God is self-delusion. It is not just a matter of pride being an unfortunate little trait and humility being an attractive little virtue. It's my inner psychological integrity that's at stake. When I am conceited, I am lying to myself about what I am. I am pretending to be God and not man. My pride is the idolatrous worship of myself. And that's the national religion of hell. God's work must be done God's way. And there may seem to be others who have great success by doing things that are not God's way, but we must turn to God's way. Verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men. No, not our plans, not our power, not our prestige, not our influence or our money, not important people. The thing that really matters is the power of the Spirit, humility, sacrifice. I cringe whenever there's someone who is a celebrity and suddenly we hear that they become a Christian. I cringe because sometimes these inexperienced people who may truly have been converted are the ones the world looks to instead of someone who's walked with the Lord for years, who's walked closely with the Lord and followed the Spirit. Oh, I hope that we will have the right perspective. And then I want you to know this last thing, and that is, my work will be rewarded. Let's say that one together. My work will be rewarded, and it will. It may be costly, but later on we will look back and we'll say it was worth it all. And God has called us to serve Him, and He will reward us. Looking here in chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, we see the continuation of what I read before. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means it's going to come out in the open. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And this fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, that's upon the foundation of the Lord first of all, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Did you know that this is one of the reasons why many of our friends think that there is a place called purgatory? This section of the Bible is one of the reasons why some people think that there is that place. They think that some of our works will be burned, but they don't understand this passage, and I won't go into that tonight. I'll just simply say this. It says plainly in verse 14, there will be a reward. And you know that God will not forget to reward anything done in His name. The Bible tells us that even one cup of cold water given in His name will not be forgotten. He'll remember that. He'll reward that. And you've seen, I'm sure, many times that the Bible talks about crowns. And God has crowns that will be a reward that will be presented in one day. There's a crown of life for those who love Jesus and endure temptation. There's a crown incorruptible for those who discipline their lives while they run the race of this life. The crown of rejoicing for those who are soul winners. And I believe that those that are won, they are the actual crown themselves. There's a crown of righteousness for those who love His appearing. And there is a crown of glory for those who are faithful in shepherding God's flock. And let me tell you, my friend, the work that we do for the Lord will be rewarded and it is worth every effort. Oh, may the Lord bless us as we seek to follow Him. There is work to be done. God says we are His co-laborers. We have a great privilege to work alongside the Lord. One of the things that I remember most about my father, who's passed away quite a few years now, is the times that we spent working together. Those are the things that come back to me. We had this big project to take care of, or that big project to take care of, and all of the time, I grumbled about some of it. I didn't want to do it. I thought that it was child abuse. But I look back on those times when we worked together, and those are the things that I remember. And I'll tell you this. You'll be blessed if you look back on your life one day and you say, yes, God called me to be a co-worker, and I showed up. He'll reward you for that. May God bless you as you seek to do that in your life. Folks, let's have a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, You've called us, and we have a privilege. You could do everything, but You've chosen to use us. And we know that there's no one who can do some of the things that we can do. Lord, may we open our hearts and our minds to see that this work is there and that we must be busy with it. Our prayer is tonight that You will bless, that we might walk with Thee together, that we might know the joy of hearing the Lord say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we pray Your blessing upon each one who gives that a priority in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.